the play call on fourth and one at the end of the game. Screen out to the right side of the receiver. You heard Tony Boselli in the after the game say, "Hey, there's a chance he could break it there." He was, you know, wasn't not totally sold on the call. Fred, what do you make of the call on fourth and one?
Being an offensive player, you tend to hate to question the calls. I think they knew they were going to get man coverage. They knew they were going to get some sort of blitz, maybe a zero blitz right there, which translates to man coverage. And if I think A-Rob just a little bit more stout in his blocking, because when he goes in, the corner, his assignment is to follow A-Rob. If you get it out to Hearns right there, you know, pretty much can possibly walk in. Not a bad call. Wasn't executed as best as they could have.
I hated it.
It's frustrating, though, because you always are taught, right, throw it past the sticks on fourth down.
I mean, you want to, but again, you know, looking at the film.
We'll get back to this in just a moment. Let's go inside the locker room. Jeff Lagerman has Gus Bradley. Jeff?
Thank you, JP. Gus, hard-fought game. Opportunity to win it at the end after the defense forces a three and out. You got to be proud of them.
Well, you know, we never accept defeat, and I know that's what I just told the team. We accept a lot of things that we did today, but that's one we won't. And, you know, when you get down there, you got to make opportunity or take advantage of the opportunities. We had our chances, but the effort and the strain, what we needed today, we got some things to clean up, but, you know, the performance and how these guys battled, really appreciate it.
Today, facing one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League in Aaron Rodgers, and some of the plays that he was able to make, the one that Jalen Ramsey's pulling his jersey and he still throws a dart down the field for a touchdown, simply amazing.
Well, we knew that coming in the game. You know, he's a guy that can extend plays and make plays happen. And, you know, so he has that quality. He is one of the best in the league, without a doubt. And he made some plays, critical times, and they got the victory because of it.
Turnover margin, minus one in today's game, had the early interception tip ball. Getting more takeaways, obviously a goal of yours as a team.
Well, always. And we knew coming this game they did a good job with the ball. So, you know, that one earlier, but we came back and we recovered quickly from that. And, you know, we tied the game up and had a chance to go in the locker room to have the lead until that two-minute drive by them. But, you know, it's just a hard-fought game. I don't know what to say. You know, it was a hard-fought game. We battled. We just didn't do enough.
All right. Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
There's Gus Bradley in the locker room with Jeff Lagerman. Before we went to Gus, Fred, we were still talking about that last play and some options there at least, right?
Yeah, Green Bay, I think in scouting those guys, they, you know, they tend to go zero blitz right there in the tight red zone. Again, you knew you were going to get man coverage. And for that particular reason, I don't think it was a bad call. Just not executed, as I was saying, as best as they could have.
Frustrating finish today. Final score 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars in week one. Jeff Lagerman in the locker room after this. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
We just didn't do enough on it. In a hard-fought game like that, yeah, I make limited mistakes. And, you know, there's the one things I will accept is our effort, our strain, and how guys battle throughout the whole game. That part I will accept. But we just got to continue to learn from this.
Situation. You know, it was just a few times. A few times it came up short.
Take us through that last play. It was, you guys were able to convert, I think, 3 fourth downs. And then the last fourth down play, what happened on that play?
They loaded the box. We were outside.
Because some couple things have to go right on the bubble there. And what did you see on that play? What happened there?
Well, I believe it's that we have a run-pass option based on the look. So it was on the perimeter. We got to catch it and get the first down.
Mm-hmm. What can you guys learn from this game?
Well, we'll look at it. We'll look on tape. You know, we had some penalties, I know, again, but we're gonna continue to be aggressive. I'm not saying I think, what was it, 9? You know, we want to cut that down, but we're going to be aggressive. I like the style of play on our defense, and we need to be better on third down. But, you know, he's a good quarterback, and he's going to make some plays.
How concerning is the lack of pass rush, or do you pin some of that on Rodgers getting rid of
the ball? Well, he did. You know, we tried to keep him in the pocket, and he got a touchdown by scrambling on us. He got outside the pocket, and he did extended some plays. You know, without going back, I'm playing over in my head right now. I know there's times I thought we did a really nice job on the extended plays, on plays downfield, you know, covering, and that was the big thing. We knew that he had the ability to extend it, you know, and so a lot of times those are pressures. But, you know, that's he doesn't take many sacks, you know, in this game he didn't. In the pass he has.
What was the circumstances of the timeouts in some of these cases, or most of these cases?
I'll find out more. I know he didn't like the look that he had, mm-hmm. With what we were doing, but I'll find out more about that tonight.
Yes, early in the second quarter, you went for 4th and 5 at midfield. Explain your thinking there.
Well, I knew we needed to be aggressive, and, we lost the possession with the fumble right away in the game, and I just felt like we needed to gain another possession back. And, this team is very explosive on offense, and we want to try to limit their explosiveness. And we kind of had a plan during the week, to be aggressive on 4th down. Now, I know 4th and 5, some of those were, a little bit challenging, but we've got great faith. I'm not saying it's going to happen every week, but, everything's different with analytics and everything that we took all the information in and felt strongly about what we were doing offensively and wanted to have that kind of an effort.
Yes, Henry was a last-minute scratch, obviously. How'd you feel Yeldon handled the extra workloads?
He did good. I thought he ran really hard. He had to play a lot of plays and involved in protection and running the ball. So a lot of the workload went on him, and I thought he did a pretty good job.
Can you give us more on Ivory's injury?
I don't know what Tad told you.
We'll provide more.
Secondly, I know you said you don't want to accept defeat, but most people are going to see this as progress for this team.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, we talk about getting better and we want our best and all that, and you're right, we're getting better, we want our best, and but we weren't at our best today. There's a few things that we got to get corrected, so that's not how they feel in the locker room right now.
Hey Gus, Jordy Nelson obviously was out last year and wasn't a factor, but this year in his opener against you obviously was a factor. Can you tell me what it was like here with Jordy's presence on the field in addition to the chemistry that he had with Rodgers?
Well, I know they looked to him. We kind of had an idea that they have they're a real good combination, and there's a lot of trust that goes on between those two. I think they know each other real well, where they're going to be on certain routes, and Aaron trusts him. So whenever you have that type of a combination, that's what all teams are trying to build, and they're both elite players.
What about your running attack? How much more work do you feel you have? I know Yeldon worked really hard.
Yeah, we need to continue that. We need to continue to run the ball. We need to take pressure off the passing game and to continue to move the ball, running it, and setting up some more play passes.
If you make a judgment on the offensive line today, how it played, particularly the left side?
It'd be unfair for me to say right now. I know they battled. The details, though, I'll know more of that tomorrow.
You've been talking about the team's been the youth of their defense, but you put them in a very tight spot there with Rodgers with the ball about 5 minutes to go and no timeouts. And
right. Well, I think that today too, we want to show faith in both sides and special teams. They did a good. The special teams, I thought, did a nice job. But the 4th downs on offense, the defense to send them out there. Hey, we need a 3-and-out. I know the defense had multiple 3-and-outs. I think Rodgers was under 200 yards. Passing, rushing. I think it kept it a little bit in check. They had some explosive runs. I know we want to get those out of it. But, we gave ourselves a chance to win at the very end, and we came up short.
Played down the field pretty good.
Hey, Jake's fan.
Broke down the other games that we looked at. I know a team they played, they were 8-for-9 in the red zone against them. So we knew that's where they did their damage. And we had to turn those touchdowns into field goals, at least just opportunities. So we put a lot of time into the red zone area.
Playing on 9/11, what was that like for you leading into the game? Had to be some emotions going through you and your team.
Well, you know what? It's I think it hits you when you stand there with the national anthem. And we brought it up and we talked about it during the week and just how, the special of the day is because you take the time to remember what so many people have done for us to have these freedoms. So it's unbelievable. And this being a military city, those two, it was an unbelievable environment.
Gus, it was first half, 2 on Robinson and 1 on Hearns looked to be contact, non-calls. Second half, Sip got hit with a similar play. I know officials are officials, but did you get an explanation on any one of them?
Yeah, I got an explanation. So they came up and visited with me about it, they told me what they saw, and we moved on.
I was kind of figured, knew that that was what they were going to do when, you know, kind of called a got to have a situation. They were a big, you know, bring the house team. So we just got to execute, whether it's, I should have done something differently or whatever. You know, it's fourth and one, you need a yard, or fourth and two or whatever. You just got to get it. If you don't, you lose, I guess.
What were they doing to keep Allen Robinson under control during the game?
Not a whole lot. I mean, they played a lot of cover two, which makes it hard for your ex to ever get open, but I missed him on a couple throws. And then, you know, I think the more we got rolling and were able to do stuff in the second half, he got a little bit more involved, obviously. But, you know, it's hard, you know, to get your single receiver open. You know, when they're playing cover two, you got to do some different things and stuff like that, which, you know, we had planned for him to move him around and do some different stuff. So missed some throws to him, but... I thought he came back well and didn't get down and had a good second half.
Is there anything that feels good about the WU?
No.
Julius touchdown pass, is that a magic he'll take all day?
Yeah. He's a mismatch nightmare. You talk about it all the time. Anytime you really have a hard time guarding him because you got to put a linebacker or safety on him and he's faster. You put a corner on him and he's bigger. Anytime they're going to leave him one-on-one, it's, you know, pretty equivalent to leaving A-Rob one-on-one.
Gus went for a couple fourth downs and went fourth and inches. Did you get up? How much of a confidence and momentum boost can those plays be?
Yeah, it was good. He had said early in the week that he wanted to be aggressive and obviously showed that in some of the calls. He allowed us to go out there and stay on the field. And I thought the guys did a good job of, you know, those got to have situations up until the last one. Did a good job of staying on the field.
No, you know, wins.
That's sort of a peek into how this
offense was talking.
Sorry.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
That's all right. I know wins matter and all that stuff, but can you look at this and find progress from based on where the franchise has been?
Yeah. As far as saying if we had played them last year, they'd be this, you know, 28-14, and the year before that, they might have been 48-0. I don't know. I think we feel like we have a team here that has the ability to be successful. Gus and David Schott have put all the pieces in place, and it's time for us to go play. And we expect to be the best team on the field every time we get on it. And they're obviously a good team with a good quarterback that's had a lot of success. And, we believe that, you know, no matter who we're playing, it doesn't matter. It's about us, and we should win.
Is there anything about – do we get a peek at the mentality of this offense today, early in the second quarter, fourth and five midfield? You go for it, that's certainly not the norm. Is that what this team's
going to
be?
Yeah. Gus has his reasons for doing what he does. But I think it's kind of cool to have, you know, see him have that confidence in us and believe in us. And then obviously we believe in ourselves and believe, you know, I think we can stay on the field on 4th and 15 and get it. And our offense kind of has that same mindset that, you know, leave us out here, we'll convert and keep the chains moving.
Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. Johnstown Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. 27-23, the final. Packers over the Jags. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. It's time to hear some highlights from the game. Plenty of those in the first half. We'll also pick the Bud Light play of the game. Well, the Jags offense got the ball first. Got a couple of little runs from Yeldon. We're moving the ball a bit, but then Blake Bortles intercepted.
The Packers showing blitz here on this first long third down of the game. Bortles takes the snap, drops the throw, looking downfield, fires. That ball is in and out of the hands and then picked off. It is then intercepted by the Green Bay Packers. They fumble, but then they fall on it. So it's going to be intercepted after being tipped a couple times by Green Bay, and they're going to run it back to the Jacksonville 29-yard line.
Joe Thomas with the interception. Six plays later, Aaron Rodgers uses his legs, gets in the end zone.
Lacy stands to the quarterback's right this time. Four-man front for the Jags. Rodgers drops the throw. Looks. Now he's rolling right. Got a lot of time. Still rolling. He can run it in, I think, and he does.
Aaron Rodgers in the end zone. 7-0 Packers. Jags defense was stout after that. They had three straight three and outs while the Jags offense got on the board a couple of drives later. Long pass to Mercedes Lewis started it off. Couple of plays after that, T.J. Yeldon over his former college teammate, Ha Ha Clinton Dix.
Second down and four now from the 5-yard line of the Green Bay Packers. They can make a first down at the one. Bunch to the right again, shotgun again. Yeldon stands to the left of Bortles. They hand it inside, handoff again. Yeldon grinding those legs, got it to the goal line, touchdown! T.J. Yeldon! A 5-yard touchdown run, and Jacksonville is on the board.
7-7 game after the extra point. Myers would later hit a 26-yard field goal to put the Jags ahead 10-7. Ensuing drive for Green Bay. 9 plays, 75 yards. Rodgers to his old weapon, Jordy Nelson, who's healthy.
Second down and 4 from the 6. They can make a first at the 2-yard line. Shotgun for Rodgers. He drops. looks. Now he's going to scramble a little bit. Stays alive in the pocket. Now looks into the end zone. Fires. And it is caught for a touchdown by Jordy Nelson. Amu Kamara tried to knock it out of there. He could not. And the Packers are in the end zone again.
14-10 Packers. Jags come back offensively. Hearns had a 30-yard reception. The drive goes seven plays, 75 yards. And this is the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Bortles to Julius Thomas for the score.
You got a 3rd and 10 from the 22-yard line of Green Bay. Trips left. Julius Thomas by himself to the right. Yeldon, the running back. 5 on the play clock. Slow snap. He handles it. Fires it to the right side. Once Julius Thomas. The ball is caught in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Julius Thomas for the touchdown.
Jags had a 17-14 lead, but they left some time on the clock for Aaron Rodgers. 5 plays, 75 yards. Rodgers to Adams before the half.
3rd down and 10 from the 29-yard line. 20 seconds to play in the half. Jags lead by 3. Rodgers, shotgun. Long snap down. He drops. The Jags blitz. He's dropping a throw. Can they get there? He tries to run around. He throws it while being covered. And that is going to be caught for the touchdown. Rodgers threw it while being harassed, and he got it to Davante Adams.
Yeah, he did, and I don't know if there's another quarterback in the league that can make that throw.
Unbelievable throw. I mean, just off the fingertips. One of the two that he threw just like that today, the other one to Jordy Nelson.
21-17, the halftime score. Field goals in the second half. Crosby, Myers, 27-23 at that point. The Jags defense forced a big three and out with a big play on 3rd down to get the ball back. Jaguars driving, couple of 4th down conversions. They were 3 for 3 on the day. They got a defensive holding call on 4th and 14 to keep the drive alive. It comes down to 4th and 1 at the Packers' 14-yard line. Here's the final play.
Shotgun for Bortles. They show blitz. Why not? They blitzed all day. They throw it. It is caught. Hearns didn't get there. They threw it in the backfield. Hearns did not get there. He needed a yard. He got about a half yard. Green Bay takes over on downs. They threw a ball in the backfield to Allen Hearns, and he is tackled shy of the line to make.
That's how it happened today. Disappointing ending for the Jags. They fall 27-23. More Mike Dempsey and Fred Taylor coming up, and Everbank stats check as well. 27-23, Packers over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score 27-23, Packers over the Jaguars. PRI Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. It's time now for an Everbank final stats check. And the Jaguars look pretty good on the stat sheet today. Offensively, 20 first downs to 18 in front of the Packers there. 3rd downs, 4 of 15, not great. But 3 of 4 on 4th downs, 3 for 3, don't matter, though, and because the 4th one didn't come through at the end of the ball game, unfortunately. Total yardage, 348 to 294, Jags over the Packers. Rushing yardage, 95 to 48. Packers led the way there, but through the air, 300 yards passing for the Jaguars today, 199 for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Penalties, here we go, 9 penalties, 79 yards, key penalties for the Jaguars, 5 for 24 for the Packers, and you can go both ways with that. There were a couple of key penalties and big situations for the Jags. There were some not called on the other side earlier in the ball game too, but I think that's just the nature of some games in the NFL, but a little more egregious today than otherwise.
Yeah, and you're not the heritage franchise, but you're the home team, and your all-pro wide receiver's getting mugged in the first quarter, and no calls there. And I thought the call against Jonathan Cyprian was crazy on the pass interference. But taking a look at some individual numbers here, JP, as you mentioned, 320 yards passing. Of course, that's Blake Bortles, 24 out of 39 on the day with a touchdown. and an interception that ultimately led to a Packer score. Aaron Rodgers, 199. I think the Jags did a pretty good job there. Two touchdowns. If you said Aaron Rodgers would not throw for 200 yards, Jag fans would have all taken that going in. T.J. Yeldon, tough running today. Again, 21 carries for 39 yards doesn't look very good, 1.9 per carry. But when you consider how many times he got hit in the backfield, we thought he ran pretty well today. He did score the touchdown, and Eddie Lacy on the other side, 14 for 61. Allen Hurns led the way through the air, four grabs for 75 yards. Allen Robinson came on late, 6 for 72 today. Julius Thomas, 5 for 64, and the lone touchdown through the air. For the Packers, it was Randall Cobb. He caught 6 for 57. Davante Adams, 3 for 50, and Jordy Nelson working his way back into form, 6 for 32 with a touchdown, but those are not the typical numbers you see from Jordy, who's a big yards per catch guy typically. Defensively for the Jags, Jonathan Cyprian led the way with 9 solo tackles. Telvin Smith had 8 total tackles, 6 solos, including 2 behind the line of scrimmage. Morgan Burnett led the way for the Packers with 8 solos, including a sack of Blake Bortles.
Julius Thomas involved today, Fred.
Yeah, those the 5 targets he got in the first half I thought were great. He caught everything. And he was only targeted one time in the second half, though. I like to see, you know, the targets to the tight ends, you know, remain consistent. But although it was one target, it was a big play because it was a conversion due to a holding call. You compare it to last year when he came in, you want to see him get those targets and those looks. So the tight ends, I thought they played well today.
Great 37-yard catch and run by Mercedes. Oh, yeah. I mean, really, made two great moves near the line of scrimmage and then broke that for another 25 yards. So
I got to go and talk to Mercedes. Should have been a touchdown.
Well, you know, not everybody has Fred Taylor's,
you know,
wheels.
A little vision there.
All right.
But he ran well. I mean, he's quick, strong, fast down the field for a 32-year-old.
The weapons are there for Blake, for sure.
Oh, yeah,
he
has the weapons.
No doubt about that. Allen Robinson targeted 15 times today. How about that?
Big 15. 15 for 15.
Only 6 catches. That's the other issue.
This is true. I mean, I think if he had a few of those PI calls, he's a big body. He's going to draw pass interference calls. And they had him wrapped up. Not blanketed, but wrapped up. And I thought if they weren't so aggressive, he would have caught a few of those.
Well, he had the 2 early, Fred, and then he had the 1, as you were talking about, off the air, up the left sideline, where he almost hauled it in with his left hand. He was getting held on that one as well. And then, you know, just such a close play there on that final drive in the end zone. Blake threw a kind of a mortar shot there, but it got right where it needed to be.
Right.
And I think A-Rob will come down with that ball 6 out of 10 times, if not more. I think he'd probably tell you that himself. Just a you know, tough defensive play on that ball.
You know, last year you could have made the argument, oh, Allen Robinson has not arrived yet, and he might not get many calls in the league. He's a young player in the league. At what point, after a Pro Bowl, do you start getting more of those calls, you know, like as a veteran presence in the league? Do you get more of those calls? Is there a certain point where that starts to happen for a player, Fred?
I think it starts with the team first.
Okay.
You know, I don't know about the refs and how they view the Jaguars. I mean, we're a young team, not a whole lot of tradition. You're still growing. But it's the Jaguars versus Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers led Green Bay Packers. I just think the refs need to be a little bit more consistent. If you're going to call certain calls, call it both ways. You know, I don't want to attack them. I'm just, you know, calling how it is. A-Rob, he'll start drawing a lot more attention because he's a huge body, and he's going to get those looks, and he's going to out-jump everybody that's defending him. So hopefully the refs will recognize it, especially after hearing this segment.
Because Fred Taylor said so.
You better make those calls.
I like Fred said, you don't want to be the guys that are always just pointing to the referees, but there's some that very early in this game, it is what it is, stood out. But, you know.
There you have it.
Not going to give them back to you.
No.
That's for sure.
They're not. That's the EverBank final stats check. We'll come back and pick a player of the game. It's an unhappy final today, though. 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars. And this is Jaguars post game on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score, 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars, running back Fred Taylor with you. It's time now, guys, to pick a player of the game for this one. It's unfortunate to do it in the losing situation, but there are still some positives individually that came out of this game today. First look at the Jaguars here in 2016. The voting procedure, Mike, you and I get a single vote each. And then Fred gets a vote and a half to break any deadlock that there might be.
So what happens if I choose, like, two guys? Can I choose two guys?
Sure you can. You're Fred Taylor, man.
What is half of 1.5? 0.75. Last I went to math class.
I think we should all choose two guys today, actually.
Oh, well, go ahead and start,
make it more
Michael.
Complicated.
Go ahead.
You know, you know what? I'll choose one, but I do want to give an honorable mention to Jason Myers.
Oh. Right?
Jason Myers okay. comes in. He drills a 50-yard field goal, makes all his kicks today, and pretty much sailed them all straight down the middle, too. I thought he performed very well. Wasn't ever a question mark. There's a lot of pressure on him coming out of the preseason. There's going to be a lot of pressure on any kicker going forward. But
I think you took Fred's choice.
I may have taken him. That's just my tip of the cap, guy. I'm going to give it to Telvin Smith, though. We talked about him off the air a little bit. Telvin was flying around today. He was very – I don't know if it was the talk of Miles Jack kind of pushing him or what it was, but he was on his game today. Two tackles for loss, really making clean, tough tackles against a much bigger Eddie Lacy when you consider Telvin's size. You could have gone a lot of ways on offense. I'm going to go Telvin Smith on defense.
Yeah, 8 total tackles for Telvin today, too. You know, I'm going to go Julius Thomas. 5 targets, 5 catches, 64 yards, and the go-ahead touchdown ended up, not – mattering much after that because the Packers went right down the field. But a nice catch in the corner, and you like to see a lot of that moving forward for the Jags. I'm going Julius Thomas. So, Fred, you got to break the deadlock.
Yeah, I think I'm going to break the deadlock. Win a chicken dinner, Jason Myers.
No, wow.
There you go. At least I got a little. Got I feel like I yeah. inspired
him. I was just kidding. Your pick.
That was my pick.
Why did I call that?
He came out, a year ago. He missed some kicks that were very makeable.
Missed 7 extra points last year. Now right. What has he made? 16 field goals in a row? Something around that.
You know, he was clutch today. What was it, 3 for 3? It was 3 for 3,
yeah,
right?
3 for 3, including a 50-yarder, which got everybody free firehouse. Subs,
but I also just want to bring some notice to Nortman.
Oh, my gosh.
Big bombs, big legs, pinned him inside the 3, back-to-back.
Do you know what he averaged on those two punts? 67.5 yards. Right. Those are the only two punts he had, but they're both down inside the 5.
So when I said two guys, I was talking about the specialists.
Wow. Pretty good.
Your special team showed up.
I was totally I was just trying to be funny when you were just saying Myers.
62.5, let me correct myself. But no, I mean, Nortman was phenomenal for the few times they needed to use him today, definitely paid off early on.
Helped
set the defense up. That was in that phase, JP, when they were going 3 straight 3 and outs. Yeah. That was a big part of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you have it. So Jason Myers.
Jason Myers.
Gets the player of the game from the Jaguars Radio Network.
No
today.
Argument here.
Fred Taylor gets it done. We'll come back with a Baptist Health Injury Report. Final score 27-23. Packers are 1-0. Jags are 0-1. This is Jaguars post game on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. The final score at Everbank Field today, 27-23. The Packers hold off the Jaguars in week 1. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. You know, the only real notable thing we heard during the broadcast was Jalen Ramsey went out and got retaped and then was limping around a little bit during the game, but played through it. Other than that, I don't remember anything too notable in the game.
Right? Not from the Jaguars' perspective. I would be checking on Sam Shields right about now after T.J. Yeldon put him on the ground. A little helmet-to-helmet contact. It's a clean play. He got trucked on that one. But you're right. Jalen got taped up, came back in, went out for a play or two. He'll play through that. It sounded after the game like it wasn't any big deal.
Chris Ivory hospitalized, I think, earlier today and was scratched from the game because of that. The team not releasing exactly what it was, a medical issue is what they're saying. But how did that affect the run game today for the Jags, Fred?
I think they probably had some plays in there that they like Ivory in more so than Yeldon. You know, maybe a screen game, short yardage offense, could be anything. But it alters the way they look at things. Denard, obviously, he's ready. Didn't get a lot of carries, but, he has to be ready.
I'm sorry, Fred. We touched on this earlier, the run game with Yeldon. You know, the yardage is not there, but there were times where he was just hitting the backfield and things, weird things happened in the backfield today, and he would fight to get only 1 yard lost instead of 5.
I'm very pleased and impressed by Yeldon's performance today, and more than anything else, he didn't put the ball on the turf. So with those amount of carries in this heat, first game of the year, having to become a lot more acclimated, fatigue can set in easily. 20-plus carries, nothing on the ground. That's just testament to him.
Did you see fatigue set in for anybody? We saw a lot of long drives by both teams in the second half, Fred, but I didn't really see anything that indicated to me that it was because the heat was getting to guys and guys were wilting.
No, I was going to definitely try and give a shout-out to the training staff and, you know, the guys. It seems like they're very well-conditioned. You know, I didn't see any guys running off with cramp issues or anything like that. They're in good shape.
We'll come back and preview next week's game, week two in the National Football League. Week one goes to the Packers, 27-23 the final. This is Jaguars Post Game on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars Post Game, final score, 27-23 the Packers. Hold off the Jags' furious rally at the end. Get it done today over the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor. Next week, the Jaguars go west. A 4:25 Eastern time kickoff in San Diego against the Chargers. Phillip Rivers, probably without Keenan Allen, it sounds like. He was injured today, knee injury. The Chargers, what did they do today? They were playing early. They lost. The Chiefs rallied, yeah, mm-hmm. In overtime, 33-27. So, Chargers team without a big weapon. They're coming off a loss. They're opening the stadium for the first time, maybe the last time again in San Diego. A lot going on in San Diego.
Not only coming off a loss, Fred, but coming off a gut-wrenching loss. Not only the fact that you lose Keenan Allen, but they're up 27-10 in this game. On the road in the division, a chance to steal one from Kansas City, and then not only do they lose Keenan Allen, they end up losing the game. So that's going to be a bit of a desperate team. As much as you can be desperate in week two of the season, it's going to be a team that's going to be looking to circle the wagons against the Jags next week.
Yeah, they're all saying right now that, man, we let it slip through our fingers, but we'll be okay next week. You know, we got a Jaguars team coming way to the West Coast.
Let them say it.
You know, and they're going to say those things, but at the same time, if you hit them in the mouth early, they'll say, man, we can't, you know, stick with this team. So it'll be a good game.
Yeah, it should be. What's the mindset of this Jags team now, Fred?
You know, they realize how much improved they are. I think they recognize that. I think the guys that committed penalties today, you know, in certain times of the game, they're in there saying, I got to, you know, be more accountable to the guys that are next to me. But I do believe that everybody's still positive and upbeat. This one sucks. You know, you don't want to lose the opener. But they also understand that it's a long season and they're close. They did a lot of good things today. I don't want to say great, but a lot of good things today in every phase of the game. And I think they'll improve.
Five consecutive openers lost now for the Jaguars. 2011 was the last time.
Yeah, I mean, again, this one doesn't feel like – it feels like you're on a par with the Green Bay Packers. You know, I really – we said it. We're sitting here watching halfway through the second quarter. You're like, there's no difference between these football teams.
You heard Blake saying in the postgame locker room, this is a team we should beat.
Right.
I think
that's player's mentality, too. We feel like you should beat your opponent all the time. I don't know if there's moral victories, but I do believe, like Fred said, they know – right now probably just how good they're capable of being anyway. You got to turn those into W's, though, you know, in the end. This is a prove-it-to-me year for the Jaguars, but in terms of showing up and showing what caliber of players and what caliber of team they had, I think they showed you that today. Just came up really one play short.
Yeah, and I also think a reason Blake will probably make that statement, you know, they started slow. You pretty much spotted them. A touchdown.
You did?
And you lose by four. But they played well. Other than that series right there, they played well throughout the course of the game. And then they had an opportunity to win it right there as the clock was winding down in the very end.
The other one that killed you, Fred, was that with about a minute to go, you give the ball up to Green Bay at the end of the first half. Yeah. After you just put a touchdown on the board. Aaron Rodgers is dangerous. We know you're not going to stop him all the time, but – you're thinking, boy, we just took the advantage here, right. And you gave it right back. They took it from you, but you know what I'm saying. It was that's a tough one to give up.
And in the second half, the Jags defense kind of kept this game within a score a couple of times. Mm-hmm. There were times where it could have been a 10-point game or whatever, and they held them. Bend but don't break.
Right.
They're at the goal line on that, 16-play drive?
Right.
If they punch it in right there, guess what? It could be game over.
Absolutely.
At that point.
I mean, like Fred said, I had 6 points in the second half. Yeah. You know, there are positives to point to. I'm not saying that should be the overwhelming feeling you had. I can understand Jag fans have their guts ripped out at the moment.
Even that, 140 yards in two series to open the second half, 29 plays, 6 points, 140 yards. You would think they should have gotten more points out of 140 yards.
Right.
I mean, at least I think that way.
Frustrating. 27-23, the final. Anything else? I mean, that's it, right? I mean, 27-23. Chargers next week. And
pretty identical to last year's opening score, right? Carolina?
20-9, wasn't
it?
It
was something like
that. It was not
yeah.
identical.
By the way,
maybe that pick six changed
Tim the Cat
mind.
And Tony just, Smith, who produces this show, who picked 27-23, Green Bay. Why didn't he? If he had picked 30-23,
I would say
Jags,
congratulations. So why are you picking the Green Bay?
He's picking,
what is wrong with you?
He was right. I don't know what you can fault him for. He was right on the number.
He's got a Jag logo on his shirt.
All I know is I'm going to check in with Tony right after this game. Give me some lottery numbers.
He'll be off to Vegas, and we'll see you next
some lottery
week.
Numbers, Tony.
Fred, well done. We'll talk to you next week.
That's
as
right.
The Chargers host the Jags, man. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it.
There he goes.
Thank you, Fred.
Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, stick around, Mike.
I will plan on doing that.
We've got the scoreboard show if you're in Jacksonville on 1010XL, our flagship station. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 904-355-6351. Jags Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score. 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars in week 1 on the Jaguars Radio Network.